Okay, today's daf is Tzadi Chet. We're going to start at the Mishnah on Tzadi Chet Amud Bet. Okay, today we're going to learn about an Uman. What is an Uman? An Uman is someone who you give him a job to do, and he does a job for you. For example, as opposed to, you give him a particular task, as opposed to paying him by the hour. We're going to see this a lot in Bava Metzia when we get there, about the differences. Let's say you send stuff to the dry cleaners, or you have somebody create a necklace for you, or a silversmith, right? All sorts of jobs like that are called an uman. So now, natan le'umanim le'taken. Let's say you bring something, you bring your car to the guy to fix your car, v'kil kilo, and he destroys it, okay? He breaks something. Chayavim le'shalem. Okay, he has to pay, he assumes responsibility. Natan le'charash shida teva u'migdal le'taken, v'kil kel. Okay, you bring to a carpenter, you have a box or a closet or some type of item to fix, and he ruins it. Chayav l'shalem. Okay, again, it doesn't mean he ruins the whole thing necessarily, but he breaks something, he has to pay. Rabbanai shekibel alav l'shtor et hakotel. This, by the way, is like what just happened 2 days ago in Tel Aviv, where they were doing construction and then destroyed the parking lot. So the builder assumes responsibility to break down a wall. Vishiber to avanim. Okay, what was he supposed to do? Take apart the wall. He wasn't supposed to break the stones that made up the wall. Right? Obviously, we're talking about a stone wall. Oshehizikan, or he damaged the stones. Chayav l'shalem. But here's one case where he's not. So hayas sotir mitzad zev and afal mitzad acher patur. But if while he was fixing the wall on one side, something broke on the other side, right, where this is typical, right? Someone comes to your house to do construction and they break one, right? They take apart one thing and then it causes something else which was unexpected. They didn't realize that there was a supporting wall. Any kind of thing could happen. And it caused something to break on the other side. Then he's patur. But imachmata makachayav. But if it was that he hammered it so hard that it caused the other side to shake and break, then he's chayav. But if it was something kind of not as connected, whereas he did one thing and it caused some effect, probably I would call it more like grama, right? And then he'd be patur. Okay. Now comes Rav Asi. We're going to have a whole dealing with Rav Asi. I tried to map it out in my head of everything that's going to happen, okay, just to have it in your head before we move on. Rav Asi is going to make a statement. First, they're going to kind of question. They're going to question him. They're going to answer it up. They're going to bring a potential proof to the answer and then reject that proof. Okay? That's going to be the first thing. Then they're going to bring a potential proof to what he said and they're going to reject it. And then they're going to bring a question. And then, I forget now. I assume they answer it up. And then they're going to suggest, the fourth thing they're going to do is, okay, so question, right? Then bring a potential proof for him. Then bring a question on him. And the fourth thing they're going to do is suggest that his statement might be a machloket tana'im. Okay, there might be a tana'itic debate about his halacha. Okay, here goes. Amar of Asi. Lo shanu ela shenatan l'charash. It's only a case where you give the carpenter a shida teva umigdal l'na'etz behu masmer. You give him your closet, your table, let's say, to fix it by putting in a nail. V'na'atz behu masmer v'shibran. And then he puts the masmer in, and he breaks the table that you gave him. And that's when he's chayav. Aval, natan l'charash etzim la'asot shida teva umigdal. Let's say you paid the guy to go build you, or you didn't pay him yet, but you asked him. You gave him the raw materials, and you said, please build me a closet out of these pieces of wood. V'asamehen shidat teva umigdal. And he built, with those etzim, he built this shidat teva umigdal. V'shibran, and then it broke. He is patur. Why is he patur? Because, now he's obviously chayav for the etzim, but he's patur for the damage done to the shidat teva umigdal. He's got to start again and do his work from the beginning. Now, why is that? My taima. I'm sorry. He's patur. Right, no, I said that wrong. He's patur, meaning he doesn't have to pay you. The damage is done. He can, I guess, what would happen then? He would pay
for the wood.
He would have to pay for the wood, but he wouldn't have to pay for the fact that he broke a closet. Okay, you'd have to pay for the wood, not for the fact that he broke the closet. Now, why is this? It's a very important concept we're going to learn. There's a lot of concepts in today's daf. My taima, uman kone b'shevach kli. If you're an uman, you're a kablan. Okay, uman and kablan are synonymous here. You took on a job to build something. Okay, it's different from, let's say, the car mechanic who's fixing up something. But if you take it upon yourself to create something like a silversmith, then as long as you haven't given that item to the person and they haven't paid you for it, the item belongs to you. And when you give it back to him, you're basically selling it. Like if he gives you the raw materials, you build him something out of it. There's two items here. There's the items he gave you, the raw materials, and then there's the shevach kli. There's what he turned it into. So what he turns it into is his. He owns that. So therefore, if you give him etzim, he builds an aron. He breaks it. It's his that he broke. It's not yours that he broke.
But it's only because he's a professional.
Ah, yafet. So we're going to get into things about professions and not professions. Not directly here, but we will get to it. We'll see if it would mean the exact same thing here. But exactly. This belongs to him because he's a professional. And he created the kli. Right? The shevach is all his, even if the raw materials weren't. And therefore, if he's an uman kone b'shevach kli, he's basically like a mocher. He's like a seller. When you pay him for building that kli, even though you gave him the raw materials, it's as if he's selling you something rather than as if you hired him to work for you. You follow?
We had a similar concept in Shabbat.
Yeah.
With things being muktzah, to if they were in the house of a professional and they were their tools.
Right. So here, the truth is, I mean, it is professional, but they're less focusing on the professionalism of this, but more that you gave him a job to do and what type of job this is. Okay? So now we're going to see that there might be, like I said, later they're going to say that possibly there's a machloket tanaim about it, and not everybody agrees that uman kone b'shevach kli. Right now, this is Rav Asi's opinion. Uman kone b'shevach kli, and therefore, if you gave him etzim, and then he built something, broke it, he's patur. Okay? So now, first question they're going to say, Tnan says in the Mishnah, Natan le'umanim v'kilkilu chayavim l'shalem. What does it mean? What did you give the umanim that they're chayavim l'shalem? The first line in the Mishnah. My lav diyav le'etzim. Isn't it that you gave him raw materials? Right? What's that first line of the Mishnah? Isn't it raw materials? And that would then, and what does it say? You're chayav. So it seems to disagree with him. So what do they answer? Lo shida tevau migdal. It means you gave him, right, when it says in the first line, look back at the Mishnah, Tanu manim letakem v'kilkilu chayavim l'shalem. What's the problem with saying that it's shida tevau migdal? Because the next words are Natan lecharash shidat tevah amigdal letaken. So how can you say that that's shidat tevah amigdal? So the Gemara is going to say, wait a minute, hamidikatani seifa shidat tevah amigdal michlal de reisha etzim. Right? It must be that the reisha is talking about etzim, which would then again contradict what Rav Asi says. Because if you give him etzim and he breaks, right, he builds something, he breaks it, he's chayav. And Rav Asi said he's patur. So what do they say? Amre peirusha kamefareshla. What does that mean? The second line is coming to explain the first line. The first line is a very general line. Now they're going to get into examples. Ketzad, Natan lumanim letakem v'kukalu chayavim l'shalem. How would that be? Kegon shenatan l'charash shidat tevau migdal. Okay, so that's their answer. So we brought a potential question on him. How could it be? Because isn't the first line talking about etzim and your chayav? They answered, no. First line, shidat tevau migdal. And it just means the second line is coming to explain the first line. And now they're going to bring up proof for this, but they're going to then disprove the proof. Okay? Hachinami mistabra. We can also prove it from the ketzad katane, that it means ketzad, that the second line is coming to explain the first. De isa kadatach resha etzim. Let's say you start out the Mishnah with, you give the guy etzim, he builds something out of it and he breaks it, he's chayav. Well then what are you going to say? Hashash muinan etzim chayavim l'shalem v'lam rinan uman kone b'shevach kelim. So shidat tevah amigdal mebaya. Would you even need to give the case of shidat tevah amigdal? It would be obvious. If on the beams you're going to be chayav when he created the whole kli, then obviously if you bring him a kli that just needs a little fixing up and he breaks it, obviously it's going to be chayav. So the second line would be unnecessary. So now the answer, no, that's not a good proof. Imishum halo iria, that's not a good proof. Why? Because tana sefa l'galuye reisha. If you didn't have the two cases, what would you think? If you didn't say shidat tevah amigdal, what would you assume? that the first case was Shidatei Va'al Migdal. So you need to say, it's as a foil, right? You need to say it's Shidatei Va'al Migdal in order to teach you that the first case is Eitzim. Okay, so Tana Sefa Legaluye Reisha. You need that second case to explain what the first case is talking about. Obviously, you could have just answered better. They should have just explained explicitly and said Natan Eitzim, right? But now they're saying, why do you need to say Shidatei Va'al Migdal in the second case? In order that we know that the first case is Eitzim. Okay? If you didn't have Shidatei Va'al Migdal specified, you would have assumed that what would you have assumed? Uman kona b'shevach kli, and you're not chayav if it's just Eitzim. Comes the Mishnah to teach you, uman eino kona b'shevach kli. Okay? That's what they're suggesting. This is all suggestions trying to show that you can't prove it. We can't prove Rav Asi from the Mishnah. We can explain the Mishnah in two different ways. You can either say it's Eitzim and Shidatei Va'al Migdal, in which case, Uman Eino Kona Shevach Kli against Rav Asi, or you can explain it that the Reisha is red, right? And then the second part is to explain the first part. So there's two ways to explain it. There's no way to prove which one. So we haven't really proven anything right now. We still have Rav Asi. We have the Mishnah, which could go either way.
One second, just the Mishnah says Letaken and not Lasot.
Right, litaken.
So
it's true.
He gives some ages for materials, that's not litaken.
It's not really litaken.
Says he gives him itim,
right.
Right.
So you could explain litaken might be to put them together. It could be explained loosely. I agree it's not the perfect word. You should say livnot or some other word, right, to create, litzor. It's not the greatest word, I agree. So it's a weakness. It's definitely a weakness in the perush that it's eitzim, okay? Interestingly, the Gemara doesn't mention that, but yeah, it's a good proof. So they say, Shalot Tamarana Aval Eitzim Lo. Okay, so Seifa, so therefore Tana Seifa, Shidatei Va'al Migdal, Mechal de Reisha Eitzim. That would then prove that the Reisha is Eitzim. Va'afilu Hachi Chayav L'Shalem. Right, and then that would prove that Uman Eino Kone B'Shevachli. Again, it could go both ways. Okay, now we're going to bring a different source to try to prove it, another Tanitic source. Lema Meseyele, why don't we suggest that this proves Rav Asi? That uman kone b'shevach kli. What would be the case? Hanotein semer latzaba. You give him wool to dye. V'hikdicho yoreh. He boils it up in the pot and he burns it. He burns your semer that you gave him. Notein lo d'mei tzamro. You have to pay him back what? The value of the semer. But what don't you have to pay him? The shevach. In other words, you dyed it. It's now worth more because you dyed it, but you don't have to pay him back. You can infer from here, right? But but it doesn't say you have to pay him the Demet Semer and the Sheva. So now what do they say? No, this isn't necessarily a proof, because you could, right? So first they say, Lav, is this not, first they're still trying to prove it, what's the assumption of this case? When did you burn it, right? Think about a pot. When are you going to burn the Semer? Once it's already died, right? It's got to cook in there a little while in order to burn. So it's a case where the shevach already happened. In which case, the fact that you're only chayav to pay the damim and not the shevach proves that you don't have to pay the shevach, which would then prove that uman kone b'shevach kli. Okay, that would prove our point. Okay? Now the Gemara says, no, you can explain it otherwise. I'll read one more line. Word, v'shmamina uman kone b'shevach kli. So, Amar Shmuel, hacha b'maya skina. And Shmuel says, no, you can explain that what's it talking about there? That you burnt it while it was bishat nefila, not la'achar nefila, but while it was boiling up, it hadn't yet died. Okay, the dye hadn't settled in yet, and therefore there is no shevach. Aval higdicho la'achar nefila mai. According to this, though, if you would burn it after nefila mai, noten lo demet samro v'shivcho. Right, but if you had burned it after nefila, then you would have to give it the damim and the shevach. In which case, what would we say? You're chayav the shevach, which means uman eino kone b'shevach kli. That's what Shmuel suggests. Now remember, okay, keep this in your mind. Shmuel is suggesting this interpretation in order to say we can't prove Rav Asi from here. Keep this in mind because later they're going to question Shmuel and he's going to say, well, I was only offering that as a terutz. It's not like I really hold by that, okay? So that's their question right now. Lema Shmuel late lay to Rav Asi? Are you trying to say that Shmuel disagrees with Rav Asi if he's trying to say that this proves otherwise? Amar lecha Shmuel, hacha b'mayaskinan. So first he says, we can say, Kigon de tzemer v'samanim de balabayit. V'tzeva... What happened? You gave him a job to do, to dye your wool, and you gave him all the materials he needed to do it, right? Normally you go to someone and they have, you know, all the equipment and everything. Here you gave him the tzemer and the samanim and the dye. Vitzaba argar yadehu deshakil. He's just getting paid a salary for the work that he did and not the shevach. There is no shevach because he doesn't get the shevach. So now they say, well, ihachi, if that's the case, so what should he have to return to him?
Die.
You can't say that that's the case because it doesn't say anything about returning the die. Ella, Shmuel dechuya kamadchele. So now they say, okay, so Shmuel was just, it's not that Shmuel doesn't agree that Uman Kona b'shevachli, he's just suggesting that you can't necessarily prove it from that source. Okay, next source, okay, if you remember, I said now there's going to be, we tried to get a, first we had a koshi, we answered up, then we had a proof, we said it's not really good proof, now we're going to have another question on Ravasi. Remember, just to review, Ravasi says, Uman kona b'shevach kli. Tashma, hanotein talito l'uman, gemaho, vahodio, if you gave your talit to an uman, to I assume this is to make, to fix, I guess you gave it to him to fix if it was a talit. If he finishes his work, the hodio, and he tells you, right, your car is done, they call you up and they say, okay, it's finished, come pick it up. Afilu mikam va'arasara yamim, eino over alav mishum lo talin. Here's a good question, I don't know if you ever thought about this. If someone does a job for you, right, how often is it that you don't make it to the dry cleaners for another few days, right? You don't pick up your car for, well, probably a car you pick up because you need it desperately. But, you know, there's lots of things where you leave. Now, in theory, you owe this person to pay them for the job. So if you push off coming to pick up your item, they've done their work, and you're chayav to pay them. Now, the Isra of Lo Talin comes up in two places. One is in Vayikra. If you have the Torah or on the side, you can see this. This pasuk is quoted here. Lo tashok et re'echa v'lo tigzol. Lo talim pulat zachir itcha boker. You can't leave the maskoret until the morning. Okay, by morning you have to have paid him. That's actually the pasuk they're going to quote, but it's a little bit strange because the pasuk they're really quoting is in Ki Teitzeh. In Ki Teitzeh in Sefer Dvarim it says lo in Perak Kaf Dalet pasuk Yudalet Yutet. Yudalet Tevach. It says, Lo ta'ashok sachir ani ve'evyon, okay, the salary of a poor person, me'achicha u'migercha asher ba'artzecha b'sharecha, b'yomo titein scharo v'lo tavo alav ha'shemesh. You have to pay him that day and don't let the sun set. You'll see why in a minute, because we're going to talk about sunset and not the morning. Either which way, it's both the same idea that you have to pay a person on time. So how can you leave it ad asara yamim, right? It's interesting. They're saying, you're not over on Baal Talin, you have 10 days. Okay? So now, Natnalo b'chatzi ayom, but if you gave it to him in midday, kevan sheshaka alav achama over alav mishum bal talin. Okay, but if he gave it to you, 1 second. He's not over on bal talin, but natnalo b'chatzi ayom. This would be 1 second. Once the uman returns it, okay, once he returns the kli, okay, let's say you pick up your car, but you don't pay him, so you must pay him by sunset of that day. Okay, once you have it back. Okay, that's the nitanolo. So basically, what are we seeing here? The isal kadatach uman kone b'shevach kli, amay over mishum bal talin. If you go buy something in a store and you don't pay the store owner right away, are you over on bal talin? No. He's a store owner. He's selling you an item. You may, you know, you can pay him at some point later. That's not Baal Talin. Baal Talin is when you're talking about a salary. We start out the shiur by saying, this is an uman. He's not getting paid by the hour. He's not getting paid, right? He's getting paid for a job, and it's not considered a salary. So if you say, uman kona b'shevach kli, then he's like a seller. He's not like a salaried employee. So therefore, what's Baal Talin doing here? So this is a question on Rav Asi. If we're putting this in the terminology, once he returns you the kli, you have till sunset of that day, and if you don't pay him by sunset, you're over this, you're Baal Talin, well then it's a salary, and it's not Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli. Because if he's Kona B'Shevach Kli, it's his item, he's sold it to you, basically, when he gives it to you. So if you pay him down the road, you're not over on Baal Talin, it's okay, if you don't pay him that day. So, that doesn't make sense, according to Rav Asi. So Amar Rav Meri Bered Rav Kahana, it's not a case where there's any shevach. It's talking about where you bring it to this a launderer. Okay, he doesn't make your kli any better. Okay, in fact, some people say it even makes it worse, right? The more you launder your clothes, the worse they get. So here we're going to talk about two different stages of laundering. So this is where, okay, and some people say it's not exactly laundering, it's when you're creating the fabric, some sort of combing process that they would do in order to, again, to clean it or to prepare it for being ready. And that doesn't actually, it's not shevach. So there's no uman kona b'shevach kli here. Okay, when you're talking about when he creates something for you, so then there's shevach. Even fixing something, there's shevach involved. But when he's just cleaning, you know, and he's doing some sort of process, that's not shevach. So then they say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Sof sof l'may yave niele. Oh, by the way, this combing would soften it. So they're saying, if it's not mashbiach, the item, then why are you bringing it to him? L'rikuche, you're obviously bringing it to him because you want him to soften it. So kevan derachache, hainu shivcha, that is shevach, right? Turning something into something clean or soft or softening it, that is shevach. So therefore, we'd have to explain something different, which is that source, lo tzricha de'agre lebitchi, bitcha bitcha b'mata. It's a case where you brought it to him, okay, now after the process of combing, they would trample on it. They would put it in water and trample on it. Okay, you can look in the Koran if anyone has. There's a picture of some ancient Roman process of laundering where they're stepping on the stuff. It's not really easy to see in the picture, but you can see, right, it's a fresco. So anyway, they would trample on the laundry, and that was the final stage, either the laundry or, again, maybe in the fabric making. And that, what would he do? If it's a case, now it could be trampling is also l'shevach, but what is it? Say it's a case where bitcha bitcha bimata. He paid him per trample. He said, listen, I'm going to pay, right? It does sound very funny. Okay, it sounds even funnier in the Hebrew in the wording. But so he pays him for every trample that he does, in which case it becomes a salary and not a kablan. A kablan, a kablan doesn't get paid per every time he does it. He gets paid for the job, right? This is why some people don't like kablan-type jobs, because the same job could take you longer, shorter, and, you know.
Yeah, there's a salary. It's like a salary, you don't get paid per hour. A salary, you get paid for the year. It's not really per wage.
No, but wages, like in this country, wages are per hour. If you work extra hours, you get extra. It does. It works in general. Even if it's a monthly salary, it's based on a particular amount of hours that you work.
But you're not talking
it could
about
depend
per
on
hour.
How you're
talking about per hour.
Again, it could be uman and schir yom might be defined the way we call a salaried employee today. Depending on how you get paid and how you clock your hours, if you do, if you don't, you could call it then. Maybe it's kavlanu. They're talking about, there were types of jobs. You hire somebody hour or you hire them for the job. Those are the two different ways of doing it. They didn't have salary in those days. It wasn't like, you got paid for a job.
I was thinking specifically we're talking about day wagers, meaning someone who came for a job for a specific day and got paid per hour for that day.
Yeah, but I guess they're extending it. They're saying, so when would this end? In other words, if you give someone a job to do and they did the job, well, then you have to pay them for it. If it's a kablan, then you have to pay them by the end of the day. But again, that's only if we're going to view this kablan as a salaried employee, that he's getting paid for the job, like bicha bicha, bimata. Mata, bicha bicha is call each trample, and bimata is a me'ah. You said, I'm going to pay you this per trample. Okay, so then it would turn into a salaried employee rather than a kablan. Okay, so then, therefore, this doesn't disprove Rav Asi, because we can explain that source in a particular case that's not our case. And here they say, dehainu schirut. That's already schirut, and it's not kablanut. So now they're going to say, ulamai desalak adati miikara de lo agre lebiche. The one who thought from the beginning, when they first suggested that it was talking about bigdu desarvala, where there is shevach, and yet, what would we say here, right? That if it's shevach, you still are over on Baal Talin, which wouldn't make sense according to Rav Asi. So what did they think at the beginning when they thought that? Misayel el Rav Ashi. This supports Rav Ashi, who we're going to see now, disagrees about Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli. Debao miname Rav Sheshet, Kablanut over alav mishum baltalin. O eino over. They asked Rav Sheshet, if you're a Kablan, is there baltalin or is there not? This is exactly right what we're struggling with a little bit. If you hire someone to do your laundry, yep, at what point, right, do you have to pay them from the halachas of baltalin, or is it something different? So Amar lehu Rav Sheshet, over. So what do you see here? Rav Sheshet says you are over. So what does that seem to imply? That Rav Sheshet, right, Rav Asi holds Uman Kona B'Shevach Kli, and Rav Sheshet holds Uman Eino Kona B'Shevach Kli. Okay? So now they're going to talk about this. Lema de Rav Sheshet Pliga de Rav Asi. Are you trying to say that? These really cholik on Rav Asi? Okay, every time we say this, right, we're having difficulty. Does someone really disagree? Amar Shmuel Bar Acha answers, Bishlicha de Igrita. He was talking about, there's different couple of new jobs. He was talking about a mail carrier. No, a mail carrier doesn't, there's no shevach involved. He doesn't improve the value. So when he said that a kablan is over on Bal Talin, they were talking about a mail carrier, not someone who actually does shevach to the kli. Okay, again, this is all possible answers, right? What's tough about this is you don't really know. All these sources, they're basically saying you can explain in different ways, so there's no way to really know how to conclude. Okay, and as Rav Asi has his conclusion, but whether others disagree or not, it's unclear. So now they're going to say, we're up to the fourth thing about Rav Asi, Lema Kitanai. Let's suggest that what he says is a machloket tanaim, right? They're also struggling. They want to know, is there a machloket, is there not a machloket? So why don't we suggest that there is a machloket tanaim that's based on this concept? Here's the machloket. Asei li sheirim. Make me, I think it's a bracelet, or I think Shirim is a bracelet. Nizamim v'taba'ot, okay, earrings and rings. Okay, create fashion for me jewelry. Ve'ekadesh lecha, and I will be betrothed to you. We learned this, by the way, in Kiddushin. Okay, she says, right, it was strange. How could she possibly say, and I will be betrothed to you? He always has to say. So obviously all the Mepharshim say, well, it means after, when he gave it to her, he says, I will betroth you with this. Okay, obviously it doesn't work otherwise. But anyway, she says, here's some raw materials. Fashion me jewelry out of it. And with the work that you did, I will become married to you. Okay? Kevan sha'asa'an mekudeshet. Once he creates them, and obviously he has to give them to her, and again, like I added, and he has to say, I'm mekudeshet li with this jewelry. Okay? She's mekudeshet. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Now notice here, it doesn't say and gives it to her. Okay? So hold up for 1 minute, but it seems it's going to be implied that that's obvious. Chachamim omrim, eina mekudeshet ad sheyagia mamon liyada. She's only mekudeshet when money gets to her hands. Now we're going to question in a minute what money, so hold off. My mamon, what kind of money are we talking about? Ilema oto mamon. If you mean until the jewelry gets to her hands. So michlal de Rabbi Meir savar, oto mamon lo. Do you think Rabbi Meir holds that she doesn't even have to get the jewelry? In other words, as soon as she says, betroth me with the fact that you're going to create this jewelry, he creates it for her, never gives it to her. Could she possibly be betrothed? Ela b'mai makadsha. She's betrothed by nothing. If he keeps the jewelry, so she hasn't gotten anything for it. So ela pshita, therefore it must be obvious, I'm going to add some words here, it's obvious that what Rabbi Meir meant was he creates them and gives them to her. In which case, when Chachamim disagree and say the mammon has to get to her hands, he's obviously not talking about the jewels. My mammon, mammon achir. In other words, these jewels can have nothing to do with the Kiddushin. He has to give her something else. Okay? Bistavruha, and now, so what's this machloket about? Dekule, they thought that when they suggested Lema Kitanai, what did they think? Now there's, okay, here, look at the chart. Okay, here, take out your chart for today. Now there's going to be a whole bunch of different parameters. Let me kind of give you background. So one concept, I told you there's going to be a lot of concepts today. One concept is this concept we just learned about whether an Uman is Kona B'Shevach Kli or not. Another concept is, and these we've learned before, so it'll be reviewed for those who were there when we learned them. There's a concept of Yeshna L'Schirut Mitchila V'Adsof, or Eina L'Schirut Ela L'Vasof. What does that mean? It means that when you start doing a job, does the clock start ticking and you're basically paid for every minute that you're doing the job? Or does the Chiyuv to pay the worker start ticking only at the end when he finishes the job? Okay, now, If the clock starts ticking immediately from when he starts the job, that's what we would call yesh na l'schirut mitchila va'ad sof, then we view the payment of the guy as a halva'ah. It's like a loan. What you owe him becomes a loan because you owe him from the first minute he does the job. So long as you haven't yet paid him, because you're only going to pay him at the end, you basically owe him money, which becomes called a loan. Now, once it becomes called a loan, we're going to have this whole question. We learned this before, that there's a machloket about whether you can betroth someone with a loan. Most of the opinions said you couldn't. If she owes the guy money, and he says, I'll be mochel you on your loan, and with that you'll be betrothed to me, that's not, most of the opinions say she's not mekudeshet, because there's no actual item trading hands. So now take this one step further. If you say that yesh na l'schirut mitchila va'ad sof, that the clock starts ticking right away, so if she's not going to pay him for the work he did, it's basically canceling a loan, because the schirut turns into a loan as soon as the clock starts ticking and she hasn't paid him, in which case it's considered a loan, in which case if he says, well, don't pay me for the work, then she's not going to be mekudeshet. If you say, mekadesh b'milvez ain't a mekudeshet. You follow? So, we're going to basically play a game with these parameters. You can see there's four different options on the page of how we're going to view this machloket, depending on what they all agree on and what they disagree on. So we can play with any one of these factors because there's a machloket about all three of them. You follow? So we can say that they all agree about this and that, but they disagree about that. Okay, so let's go. If you didn't get it 100%, hopefully as we go through, you'll get it. So the first one is to say, what was the whole thing? They wanted to say the machloket is about uman kona b'shevach kli or not. So the first way of reading it is, this is what they thought when they suggested this. Everyone agrees, yesh l'schirut mitchila v'ad sof. Everyone agrees that the schirut starts ticking, which means it's going to become a halva'ah. U'dekulei alma, hamakadosh b'milva ain't a mekudeshet. I say I wrote it wrong on the chart, so fix that. I very quickly put it together before class, so fix it up before I put it online, but right now fix it up on your sheet. If you're mekadosh b'milva, she's not mekudeshet. So this wouldn't work, right? This wouldn't really work. So why does Rabbi Meir hold that it works? My love, but uman kona b'shevach kli kamiflagei. It's all about, is an uman kona b'shevach kli or not? In which case, this has nothing to do with halva'ah. This has to do with, does he own the jewelry, basically? And if he gives her the jewelry, well, then it's his own that he's giving her. And that's what Rabbi Meir says, she's mekudeshet. So Rabbi Meir savar uman kona b'shevach kli. Rabbanan savar ein uman kona b'shevach kli. But what they're basically saying is the other two machlokot, they almost don't even need to bring it, are irrelevant to this purpose. Why are they bringing it? Because soon they're going to say, no, that's dafka what they're arguing about. So then they say, no, but you don't necessarily have to read it that way. You could say, dekule alma, that everyone agrees, ain uman kona b'shevach kli. Okay, he can't buy it with shevach kli. Ella, hacha, b'yeshna l'schirut, right, so if it's not uman kona b'shevach kli, then it's going to be the world of halva'ah. And that's what the machloket's going to be. Ella, hacha, b'yeshna l'schirut mitchila v'ad sof kamiflagei. So now we're going to say the machloket is, does the clock start ticking right away? In which case it's a milveh, and everyone agrees she's ain mekudeshet. Or, right, to Rabbi Meir, Savar, ain l'schirut ela l'vasof, the chov only comes in at the end. At that point, he can then give it to her and say, you don't have to pay me. And that's got monetary value. Rabbanan Savre, yesh l'schirut mitchila v'ad sof, it starts ticking from the beginning, and therefore, she's ain mekudeshet. V'ibay de'ema, alternatively, option number three, you could suggest, dekulei alma yesh l'schirut mitchila v'ad sof. And what's the machloket about? Hacha be mekadesh b'milva kamiflagei. Their machloket is, can you be mekadesh by a loan or not? Okay, de Rabbi Meir savar ha mekadesh b'milva mekudeshet. Everyone agrees it is a halva'ah. The question is, maybe you can be mekadesh with a halva'ah. Rabbi Meir savar ha mekadesh b'milva mekudeshet. Rabbi Nan savar ha mekadesh b'milva ain a mekudeshet. Okay, Rava is going to bring a fourth option. Rava amar dekule alma yesh l'schirut mitchila v'ad sof. Everyone agrees that it is a halva'ah. Udekulei alma mekadesh b'milva ain a mekudeshet. Everyone agrees she's not mekudeshet by a halva. Udekulei alma. Okay, now we're going to see it has nothing to do with any of these three things. Ain uman kona b'shevach kli. They all agree that it's not his either. So then, how is it going to work according to Rabbi Meir? Elahacha b'mayaskinan kigon shosif la nofach mishelo. He added. He said, "I'll betroth you with the jewels that I made you and a pruta." Okay, now, if you remember, we actually had this machloket, we saw this earlier also. To Rabbi Meir Savar, milva upruta, data apruta. Rabbanan Savre, milva upruta, date amilve. If he says, I'll be Mekadeshu with a loan and a pruta, the question is she smart enough to realize that he really only means the pruta because he can't be Mekadeshu with a milveh? Or is she thinking that it's with everything and she can't be Mekadeshu with a milveh and therefore it doesn't work? Now, there's different nuskhaot. It appears in Kiddushin, not da'ata, but da'ate. What is his intent? It's a machloket about whose intent is necessary, hers or his. Okay, but we're not going to get into that now. Anyway, that's the machloket. Now they want to show that according to Rav, if that's the machloket, he's going to show that there's the same machloket tana'im between two other different tana'im, which is going to support the fact that there's a machloket tana'im about this concept, about whether we say milva pruta da'ata a milva or milva pruta da'ata a pruta. So where do we see a machloket about this? So first we're going to see a three-way machloket. That's the second chart on the page. And then we're going to show that that's what it's dependent on. Okay, we're going to say the machloket between the first two is about this, and the machloket between the second two is about the issue of milva pruta data pruta, or milva pruta data milva. Ubeplufta dehane tnai, detanya, a guy says to a woman, I'm going to betroth you. She says, betroth me. B'sachar she'asiti imach, for work that I already did for you. Eina mekudeshet. Nobody agrees that this is okay, because again, this is like a halva'a, okay? Because he owes her money, right? B'sachar she'asiti imach, right? She must owe him the money, right? She owes him the money, and he's just canceling it, so it's a loan. B'sachar she'eseimcha, for something I will do for you in the future, Tanakama says mekudeshet. Rabbi Natan omer b'shachar she'aseimach imcha ena mekudeshet. B'koshchem b'shachar she'asiti imach. Right, and obviously if it's past, none of them work. Rabbi Yehuda nasi omer be'emet amru b'im b'shachar she'asiti imcha b'im b'shachar she'aseimcha ena mekudeshet. Either which way, it doesn't work. Just like Rabbi Natan, but he adds b'mosif la nofach mishalom mekudeshet. You can see where this is going. He says you can add, and that works, because milva pruta data pruta. Whereas the guy before him who thinks it doesn't work is going to say milva pruta data milva. So first they're going to say, bein tanakama le Rabbi Natan. What's the difference between tanakama and Rabbi Natan? Ika benayu schirut. Okay, right? Why it's all about is schirut. Bitchila va'ad sof, in which case it's going to become a halva'a, and it's not going to work, according to Rabbi Natan. According to tanakama, it's not considered schirut, right? It's yesh l'schirut, ein l'schirut, ela levasof, and therefore it's going to be fine, because it only clicks at the end, and then he can basically betroth her with that. And bein l'Rabbi Natan l'Rabbi Yehuda nasi, ikka b'nai milva pruta. Okay, that's their machloket. Tov. That's the end of this whole issue. Okay, we're going to get into other connected issues now, but that's the end of this whole section. Okay, Amr Shmuel. Tabach uman shekilkel. Here goes to what Reza was talking about, the difference between an uman and a hedyot, okay, a regular guy and a specialist. If you're a shechter, okay, you shecht meat, and if you ruined the meat, you trafed it up, you were shechting and the animal started moving and you missed you went into the wrong spot, or all sorts of things could go wrong during the shechita, chayav l'shalem, you have to pay the guy for what you did, you know, for the damage. Maziku posheahu. Okay, very strange language. You're a mazik and you're a posheah. Nasa ke omer lo shcholi mikan v'shachat lo mikan. It's as if, it's like a case where somebody says to him, shech from here, and he did it in the wrong place. Okay, it's as if you totally messed it up. So first the Gemara says, lama li lamemar maziku posheahu. Why do you need to say both? Now, what's interesting about this Lashon, and this is what's going to lead to the whole next figure, which is very, very interesting, and a lot of concepts, is how do we view this Uman? When he has your item, is he like a Shomer? In which case, the Lashon of Poshea would be the relevant Lashon, because if you watch someone's item, and you're Poshea, and you don't watch it carefully, you're going to be responsible. Or is it like Adam HaMazik, which is the Lashon of Mazik is relevant, right? In other words, have you damaged someone's property, basically? They gave you an animal to shecht, you messed it up, you damage their property. So not only is the Gemara going to struggle with this, they're not going to struggle with it head on. Is it Mazik? Is it Shomer? But the Mefarshim grapple with how do we view this? Do we view this as Adam HaMazik or not? And we're going to see here that remember, if it's Adam HaMazik, what's the major difference whether we put it in the world of Mazikin or we put it in the world of Shomrim? Can anyone tell me? Adam HaMazik, okay, remember? Adam Wa Lolam, Bein. Ben Yashem, Ben Shogeg, Ben Bemezid. Okay, remember, he's chayav even in a shogeg, okay, and bein be'ones, bein beratzon, even in an ones case. Whereas shomrim, unless you're a shoel, which we're not talking about here, shomrim, you're going to be chayav, you're going to be patur for onsim. Okay, now, I don't know if you remember this, but this will go back, and I think maybe we'll end here for today, or maybe we'll see, maybe we'll go a little farther, but I want you to get the concepts of this. If you remember, when we learned Adam Uav Le'olam, we said, Bein Be'ones, Bein Be'ratzon, you're even Chayav Onsim, there was a machloket among that basically contradicts another concept, which is called Ones Rachmana Patre, which means that people are Patre for Ones. So how could you say, Adam Uav Le'olam, and it's Chayav Bein Be'ones, Bein Be'ratzon, and on the other hand, say, Ones Rachmana Patre? So some of the Mefarshim say, no, really, all Onsim, you're Chayav from, Adam Uav Le'olam. And some people say, no, there's levels, gradations of onus. And if it's really, really onus, then you're not going to be responsible. But that's not the onus discussed here, right? What's the onus? If we put this in the world of mazikin, well, then obviously you're chayav, because adam u'al olam, be'em shogeg. The fact that this animal moved and it wasn't your fault, well, that's not, you know, you're responsible anyway. We don't care. That's onus. Onus, adam u'al olam. But if we say it's in the world of shomrim, then it doesn't make any sense that he should be chayav, because it's ones, and someone should be patur for ones, right? So basically, we have this. So if you say it's Adam, right, that he's always chayav and onsim, then you're going to struggle with, you know, we have to figure out, when we talk about chayav or patur, and in which case you chayav or patur, if there's some sort of patur, well then, how can you be patur if it's Adam u'ad l'olam? Okay, so we're going to have to say maybe, well, there's gradations of onus. Like, this isn't your classic case of onus, right? If you're really patur for onus, the most extreme onus, this isn't. You're shechting the animal. Your job is to be on top of things and know what you're doing. So, anyway, we'll get more into this tomorrow. Okay, we didn't get too far, but tomorrow's off is short. I built the principles from here. We'll move on. Get through it tomorrow.